following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Kesey, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for the 495th podcast episode. And after a couple weeks off, it's good to be back, and it's good to have Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Halgy back after he had a couple weeks off with his team and went into the break on a high note with a couple of victories over Alaska Fairbanks. Josh, welcome back. Happy New Year. And first of all, how was your Christmas and what did your family do? I saw some pictures posted on Facebook. You guys back in Minnesota?
Yeah, we went back to Minnesota and it was a nice break. It's also nice because you can go watch some hockey there. So there's high school games and some junior hockey games. And then after that, we were up to Ottawa. My two boys had a hockey tournament. And then there's also some major junior games that we were able to catch while we were up there.
It's too bad you had to have to play on Saturday. You could have stayed for the World Juniors in Minnesota.
That was probably the most disappointing part of the trip is because, you know, last year when we found out that the tournament was going to be there, you know, my kids were very excited about possibly going to a game there. So we did get to go to a Minnesota Wild game, which was fun. And, we try to make that an annual tradition.
Well, the Wild are playing pretty good. A big trade for they're getting Hughes from Vancouver.
Yeah, it was exciting to be able to watch him. And then, you know, I was lucky enough in college to be able to coach Nico Sturm. So he was very generous and took some time to spend it with our family. So appreciated that.
That's great. So after a three-week break, Union returns to action Saturday. It'll be an exhibition game against Canada's Royal Military College at 5 p.m. at M&T Bank Center. First of all, how exciting is it to get back on the ice and get ready for the second half of the season?
It's really nice, and you know, for us to have this exhibition so we can kind of get a little bit of a walkthrough before we get back into league play, I really like that, this portion of our schedule. You know, we get a full week of practice in before we get the exhibition game, and then, you know, a full week into ECAC play.
What was the thinking about playing an exhibition game to start the second half of the season?
I think just, again, like we had a long break, make sure we get a little bit of the rust off. And, you know, again, this is a great opportunity. Everybody who's healthy will play, you know, right now. So that's a nice part of it, too. So you get everybody some game action, get some guys maybe an opportunity to showcase what they've, you know, been working on all season and you know, hopefully improve their spot in the lineup.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. That's one of my questions for you. Is this something that you may consider in future years, playing an exhibition game before returning to ECAC hockey play after the holiday break?
Yeah, you know, and it's really dependent on the ECAC schedule. You know, we're sort of given that and have to work around it. And if it allows, I think this is a great way to, you know, get your feet wet and, again, get back into action.
Well, Professor Brian Cohen over at Union had the same thought as I did. What is the strategy for the game? Obviously, you want to win, and with exhibition games, you can dress extra players. But will the regulars play a lot, or will players who haven't seen much action this season get a chance to have more ice time?
I think guys, you know, that we want to get a better, you know, better look at, we'll get, you know, some heavy minutes. But I also think it is really important to get, you know, at least two really good periods from, you know, the guys that are, you know, everyday guys for us, and see, you know, how they are transitioning here to the second half.
You ended the first half with an intriguing goalie situation. Freshman Braden Gillespie started the final three games and won them all, including a shutout of Quinnipiac. Sophomore Cameron Corpy had struggled against Princeton the night before he played Quinnipiac, and was pulled from that game. The second time he has been pulled from a game this season for performance base. I know he was pulled from the UMass Lowell game after giving up that controversial goal. And freshman Brendan Holahan has made a couple of late game appearances. What is the plan on which goalie or goalies play against Royal Military College?
Yeah, I think you'll see all three this weekend. I think this is a good opportunity to get them all some, you know, action and kind of see how they all look.
Has it been decided who's going to get the start?
No, we haven't really, you know, discussed much of anything other than just trying to get our pace and our details back in our game. You know, and again, like, we'll get all three of them in, and it, to me, it doesn't matter who starts. It's going to be how the practices go and, you know, how they play in that game before we make a decision for, you know, going into ECAC play.
You mentioned before the break that Cameron had been battling a cold, and maybe that had been a reason for his struggles. How important will this playing a period to get his form back will be against in the exhibition game?
Well, he played a lot of hockey in the first half of the season, and you know, anytime you do that, you can get a little bit tired and run down, and I think that's kind of what happened. The nice thing is we found out that we got some good goalies that are right there with him that will continue to push him, and you know, I think you'll see a little bit in the second half where we can get some guys in and making sure that you know everybody's rested and ready to go.
Has that surprised you how good Braden Gillespie has looked?
Well, I think you look at his track record, he's been pretty successful everywhere he's been. You know, our goaltending coach, Brian McDonald, is extremely high on him when we got him. And, you know, a little bit is, you know, for us, it's a unique situation. When you get a goalie from the USHL, you typically know what you're going to get. You know, getting somebody from the CHL is a little bit different. So it was a learning curve for us, but he's done a great job of earning our trust and confidence, and has really put himself in a good spot.
Union entered the holiday break on a 3-game winning streak. The Garnet Chargers are 12-5-2 overall and ranked 20th in the USCHO.com poll. In ECAC hockey play, Union is 3-4-1 for 11 points. The Garnet Chargers are tied for 6 with Quinnipiac. Those two teams will meet next Friday in Hamden, Connecticut, in the second game of the unofficial M&T Bank Cup Series. Looking back on the first half, Josh, what have you liked about the team's play?
I think that, you know, analytically, we've done a really good job creating chances and scoring. And then, you know, we've done a pretty good job, you know, defending and limiting teams' opportunities. You know, I think there's been a lot of positives. I think our special teams have been, you know, outstanding. I think our penalty kill's been, you know, top 5 in the country all season. Power plays has been successful for the most part. When you needed a goal, they've always been there. And I think they're, you know, I don't know what their percentage is. I kind of am blanking on that right now, but I'm thinking it's around 25%.
What needs to be improved in the second half?
I think it comes down to just our consistency and us playing to our identity. You know, there's a few games I think we wish we could have back, and I think it came down to we weren't as physical as we needed to be. We weren't as hard as, you know, we need to be in front of our net and the opposition's net, and I think that's been the challenge for us. You know, late, you know, we talked about the last 4 games before break and the later portion of the second half of playing teams that are hard to score against. And, you know, we had success in 3 of those games and 1 game we didn't. And that was the Princeton game. So I think we definitely learned what it takes for us to be successful.
What player or players have stood out in the first half?
Oh yeah, it's a good question. I think up and down our lineup, I've been really happy, you know, with the group. I mean, obviously you look at what Tyler Dunbar has done. I think we all thought he'd have a very good season for us, but I'd be lying to you if I said I thought he'd have 21 points at Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I think you look at, you know, other guys. You know, I've been really happy with Riley Bruick. He plays in all situations for us. You know, a guy that's really, you know, taken a step, and him and Connor Smith. I think that sophomore class has really stepped up. So you know, proud of those guys.
Well, you mentioned Tyler Dunbar. To me, I think he's probably been the most pleasant surprise. As you mentioned, you expect him to score, but he came in from Colorado College with just a goal and assist in, I think, 31 or 33 games with Colorado College's first year. And the fact he's one of the top defensemen not only in ECAC hockey, but in the country with the scoring. So besides Tyler, what other player or players have been pleasant surprises?
Well, I mean, you look at all the transfers, I think we've been really pleased with. You know, Will Felicio has done a nice job, you know, quarterback and a power play. You know, you look at Etienne Lessard and him stepping in and being a really good, you know, first-year defenseman. I mean, honestly, I think all of our D, Cal Mell's really taken a nice step. Carter Rose has been outstanding. You know, DJ Hart has had a couple of injuries, but when he's played, he's been really good. So, I mean, and I'm not even talking about Nick Young, who's our captain and been the, you know, a bit of the heartbeat for the team. Parker Lindauer has been outstanding. So again, yeah, up and down our lineup, I've been pretty happy.
You've had what, 3 months now in the new building. Is it still feel like brand new?
Yeah, it's, you know, everything below for us is first class. We're really fortunate that Union made the investment in our hockey program to give us what we needed, and I think the game night atmosphere has been great. The crowds have been loud. They've been fun. I know early on people had little things they wanted to see improve, but I think for the most part, you got to be pretty happy with everything that's going on.
We got to work on the concession prices though. $9 for a pretzel?
Yeah, that's a tough one. As someone who has, you know, a couple kids, and you know, I. sometimes my wife will tell me what she spent on food there, and it's I'm gonna have to get another contract here soon.
Thanks for that extension. So, yeah. Well, I have to ask you about the Teddy Bear Toss game against Alaska Fairbanks on December 13th. It's the first time Union Hockey held a Teddy Bear Toss, and you just hope things don't go awry or a bad situation happens. And it appeared Lucas Buzio scored late in the first period to give Union a 1-0 lead, and Teddy Bears come raining down from the stands. While the Bears are being clear from the ice, Alaska Fairbank coach and your good friend Eric Largen, who turned to be the Scrooge of this situation, decides to challenge the goal, believing Buzio kicked the puck in. The referees review it, and they rule in the Nanook's favor. I mean, that was the worst-case scenario for a Teddy Bear toss because he tossed the Bears, and now you don't have him anymore. So when Union does officially score his first goal. I mean, it's been 3 weeks since that game. Do you think Buzio kicked the puck in? Because I looked back later that night on demand, and it's tough to tell. I mean, it looked like the skate was probably behind his stick. I mean, I don't know how the referees could tell. We don't see an overhead shot. I'm assuming there's overhead cameras above the net, so, but they never show those on the ESPN Plus broadcast. So when they show the press box angle. So what happened? Did you think they made the right call?
Well, a couple of things. I was able to talk to, you know, Eric Largen about it first, and he's like, you know, if it wasn't for the Teddy Bear toss, we probably don't challenge it because we got to look at it 50 times, and it was so close. We didn't, you know, we couldn't tell, but they thought it was worth the risk. And then spoke to Peter Fiola, who's, you know, obviously the referee in chief, and he said, you know, that was as close of a kick as anyone he's seen, and that they were going to send it into the national committee to kind of get everybody's ruling on it. So I think it was a coin flip. You know, the fact that they called it on the ice, I thought maybe they would stick with it. Yeah, I'm probably pretty biased. I thought it was a good goal. But again, I think for the most part this year we've had, you know, pretty solid officiating. So, you know, if that was the one that was really bad for us, and you know, we still won the game, we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, that was I was, you know, thinking about that the whole long. So, oh, what if happens? Say there's a video review and it gets reversed. You're like, oh, you can't give the Bears back to the fans here. but I think you have to be happy though that when Union did get its first goal in the second period, no one threw anything on the ice because at that point you're risking a delay game penalty.
Yeah, and I think that's one too, where hopefully the officials would have used common sense and not. You know, giving us one if something happened, but who knows? So
Sometimes common sense doesn't prevail. So
for sure.
Anyway, we'll always like to take questions from our listeners, and the regular contributor Ryan Fay. Me ask, how did the exhibition against Royal Military College get on the schedule, and what opportunities does a midseason exhibition game like this offer? Ryan points out midseason exhibition games like that are a historical rarity for an Union schedule. You might have to go back to the 2009-10 season to find something comparable that late in the schedule versus the U.S. under 18 team on December 11th of 2009. So, I mean, talk about how this whole exhibition came, because, I mean, obviously it's rare, as Brian said, it's rare to see an exhibition game in the middle of the season.
Yeah, typically this would be an out-of-conference series. But what ended up happening is when we were invited to go to Belfast, we had to move something. So it was this weekend that got moved. So we ended up, instead of, you know, being off Thanksgiving, we were in Belfast. So this weekend was open. I just didn't like having a month off. I thought that was too long. So instead of having it right after or right before Christmas, thought the best solution was to, have it right after coming after break. And we started reaching out, and actually Coach Sinella found this game for us. We were calling a lot of universities up in Canada, and I think with their ability for those players to come here, I think some teams were, you know, didn't want to do it. So we were happy we were able to find, what a great way to play a team like Royal Military College, a team we know is going to compete hard and everything they do for Canada.
Peter Bowe has two questions. First of all, the first one is, after an extended break like this, do players ever come back a little out of shape, and how do you as a staff respond?
Well, luckily no one came back out of shape. Everybody came back in a good spot. I think everybody knows how important this stretch run is for us. We've given ourselves an opportunity to have a really successful season if we have a good second half, and I think the guys took that serious. But we do some weigh-ins and tests for body fat and do different things to make sure we kind of see where guys leave and where they come back. Surprisingly, we were hoping a lot of guys actually added some weight because we had some guys that were, a little light, and some guys were able to put some weight back on with the break.
Yeah. And the second one from Peter is on about the fourth line. What is the thought process on who is scratched or plays? Is it totally performance-based, or is it gut instinct, or a combination of both? And how do you decide to sit someone if they are having a good stretch?
Yeah, I think it's the guy's job that's in the lineup to sort of keep that position. So if we feel someone's playing well, we're going to, keep them in and keep giving them that opportunity. And then it's the guys that are out of the lineup to try to, force our hand and sort of kick the door down to get their way back in. It's a little bit of both. I mean, I think it's definitely based on performance, but every once in a while somebody will have a really good week of practice and we get the gut instinct to kind of give them, a little bit more of an opportunity. It's really the hardest part of our job is to kind of make those last sort of decisions because, we have 27 guys and they all want to play. And when you don't get them in, it sort of, it ruins their happiness and their, and their experience. So we want to get everybody in. I think this year, at least everybody's got to play 3 or 4 games at the bare minimum. So that's nice that everybody's got a bit of an opportunity. And, a game like Saturday is, it could be, the springboard for someone to, to really have a big second half.
Is everybody healthy at this point?
No, not right now. We have a couple guys that are dealing with minor injuries. Colby MacArthur is coming back, hoping to have him back right away here for this second half. We have, and then we have, who else is down? Just some, bumps and bruises, guys in red jerseys right now. So, Colby's probably the one right now that he won't play on Saturday. We're hoping to have him back ready to go for the Quinnipiac Princeton but we'll get him conditioned so he's ready to go.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the questions, everyone. And if you have a question for Josh, you can email him to shot@dailygazette.com, or you can post him on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads @SlapShots. The Daily Gazette ECC Hockey Faceoff selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those picks before the first game, usually on Fridays. To play, send your picks to shot@dailygazette.com. Josh, appreciate you coming in for a few minutes, and we'll talk on after the game on Saturday. Good luck. We'll see how things turn out with that exhibition game. And get back in the ECAC hockey swing next week, and we'll talk about that. And have a happy new year.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and happy new year to you and everyone else.
All right, thanks, Josh. That's Josh Algy. Let's take a break. The Union women's hockey team returns to action this weekend. We'll talk about that next on the 495th episode of the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com. Welcome back to the 495th edition of the Parting Shots podcast. I'm your host, Ken Schott. We're going to add the Union Women's team to this podcast with Josh Halji, because the podcast will be posting on Thursday. The first one of the new year will be a year in review. So we don't want to. I didn't want to put the Union Women in that one. So it's a good time to talk about the Union Women. They're back in action this weekend after having a month off. They head back to ECAC hockey play this weekend. They visit Yale on Friday. And Brown, the team they beat in the ECAC hockey tournament first-round game last year, they'll play there Saturday at 3 o'clock. Both teams ranked in the polls, Yale 14 and 15, depending on which poll you look at. And Brown is number 15. Brown's a much-improved team this year. Had a chance to speak with Tony Macy, the head coach of the Garnet Chargers, along with defenseman Steffi DeWork and goaltender Monia Wagner. We'll begin with Tony Macy, get his thoughts on getting ready to play the second half of the season. The Union find themselves right now in last place in the standings with 8 points, 8.5 points, excuse me. They're a half point behind RPI. Dartmouth is in 10th with 10 points, and Yale is at number 9 at 12, and St. Lawrence at 14 points at number 8. So Union looking to try to move up in the standings and maybe try to get at least secure a first-round home game in February. So they have to get off to good starts. They didn't get off to a good start in their game at Harvard about a month ago. They were down 3-0 in the first period, down 4-0 into the second period before rallying. Came up short in a 4-2 loss. And the next day at Dartmouth, they played to a scoreless tie. Great game. Both teams had a great chance. Monia Wagner was outstanding in that game. And we'll eventually I'll talk a little bit more about her performance when I introduce her. But let's talk with the head coach, Tony Macy, about getting back into action and getting ready for the stretch drive here of ECAC hockey play. Plus, I couldn't help myself. Tony, being a Detroit Lions fan, I had to ask him, what happened to the Lions this year? That'll be at the end of this interview. So here's Tony Macy. Well, Tony, how good is it to get back to some play here after just about a month off?
Well, it feels good. I think the group was ready to get back on the ice. We were back travel day Sunday, so we were back on the ice yesterday, Monday. So, definitely felt good to get everybody back in the building, back on the ice, and moving.
Is there any concern with that kind of along with a layoff that there could be some rust maybe the first few minutes of the game on Friday against Yale?
I think there's always that, but I think that, if we prep well this first week, I think that we can put a good foot forward. We're coming right out of the gates.
How would you assess the first half of the season?
Well, I think it was, good learning for us, for sure. I think that, we definitely had some games that, we improved on. We got a lot of good reps in. We played some high-level teams to kind of gauge where we were at and what we needed to do in the second half to make a push towards playoffs. Obviously, we're not in standing-wise where we want to be, but that comes with playing more league games, and I think getting a little bit better on the road as well. We didn't have very many road trips in our league play on the road, which is something we talked about in our meeting today, is something that we want to definitely improve upon, and it starts this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the last games you played at Harvard, you got off to a slow start there and really never recovered. How big was that Dartmouth game? Even though you didn't win, you got 1.5 points and you won the shootout, but how big was that going into the break? And do you think with the way that team, you guys bounced back, how do you think you can build some momentum off of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the big thing is, the first half can be a bit of a grind, right? It's a longer portion of the season. You get into spots where, we have exams during certain times, and that can be a long time. We get those extra 2 weeks after those exams that can also, feel a little bit longer. So I think being refreshed after that is good. And I think going into the break, it kind of gave us got a win in a shootout under our belt in a shootout under our belt. So I think that was something that we could definitely take moving forward. And, we had some other times during the course of the year earlier that kind of prepared us for that.
How important was that game for Monya on, against Dartmouth? I mean, she got pulled from the Harvard game. I mean, you could have gone with Ryumi at the start against Dartmouth. But how important was that bounce back for Monya?
Oh, I think that was part of it. I think the pull for Monya in the Harvard game wasn't a pull for her sake. It was more of a pull for the everybody else. Like, hey, she's been playing, all of our goalies have been playing well in front of us, or behind us, I should say. We got to play better in front of them. And that was kind of the message to the team at that point. So going back with Wags and getting her in that next day, I think was good. And, you know, she was able to bounce back and put a good performance together.
Yeah, you mentioned the standings earlier. You're last place right now. So how important is it to get off to a good start here in the second half and make a move up the standings?
Yeah, we talked about it today in our meeting. We gotta go and grab points where we can. And the good thing is right now everybody that we're chasing is above us, so we got to make sure that we're taking advantage of those games and those opportunities. You know, we get to start the first half here against two teams that we haven't seen yet. So being able to kind of look at something a little bit new, a little bit fresh, is going to be good. And, you know, going into two teams that are right now, I think they're 14 and 15 or 15 and 15, yeah, whatever poll you're looking at. So those will be good opportunities for us to try and grab points and start to move our way up the standings.
I mean, are you surprised with Brown because being ranked and they're playing well? I know they finished eighth last year, but they seem to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, I think that's just the part of our league and part of, you know, what their team's done. They're an older team now. I think that was a big thing. They had to get some classes through their new coaching staff. That's something that we're working on as well. Just to have that continuity and that familiarity with the coaching staff, I think, has been big for them. You know, they started off hot again last year. I think they're a team that is still in that mode, similar to the way we were, where, you know, you surprise some teams that aren't expecting it because the history, recent history of it has been, the other way. So, I think we just got to go into each game ready to go and put our best foot forward.
What are your thoughts on Yale?
Oh, they're a different team from what they've had. I think they're, they're younger. They've got some talent there. I think that we got to try and – we're going to have to be ready for a 60-minute game. That's a big thing. Like, they're a team that plays full 60, so we got to make sure that we're trying to push for that full 60 and come out of the gates better than we have in the first half at times.
I mean, how important is it to get off to those good starts and not, fall behind, especially on the road?
Yeah, it's tough when you're chasing games, right? Like, that's one thing that we've talked about. It's easier when it's either a one goal up game, or you're winning, or even if it's tied, it's tough when you're chasing the score clock. So, we got to put ourselves in better situations out of the gates. And a lot of that stems from us putting more pucks on the net, possessing pucks a little bit more, stuff that we're working on and have talked about in the first half. And, trying to do some new things here, moving in the second half to progress our play.
Non-hockey question. How disappointed are you in your Lions?
Oh, gosh. It was a tough year. We had the high hopes coming in. I think it was, 7-2? And then all of a sudden, wheels fell off and too many fourth down, let's try and go for it, and tough plays. I think they abandoned the running game a little bit too early. When you have two horses back there, you got to let them kind of pull the cart.
I will be a big Detroit Lions fan on Sunday. I want them to beat the Bears so my Eagles can beat the Commanders and get the number 2 seed. So I will be sitting at the Philly Sports Bar in Latham watching the Eagles and keeping an eye on the Lions and Bears. So I'll be thinking about you as I watch those games.
Well, the good thing, I think Chicago's probably going to rest some people,
mm-hmm,
based on the game. And Detroit's probably still, Dan Campbell trying to still play hard and play for positioning and jobs for next year.
Up next are defenseman and team captain Stephanie Bork and goaltender Monia Wagner. I mentioned Wagner, his performance in the Dartmouth game earlier. In the Harvard game, she was pulled after giving up four goals. And you, as you heard on my questioning with Tony Macy, and he said it was not due to her performance. It was the team in front of her not playing well. Well, she had an outstanding game against Dartmouth the next day, a 35-save effort. 14 saves in the third period and four in the three-on-three overtime. Union getting a point and a half for that tie. Union won the shootout, which I don't know why the women don't adopt a shootout at this point. What's the point of having a shootout? I guess it's a tiebreaker somewhere down the road if there's a tie between the teams, but I don't know how that's going to work. But anyway, enough about my ranting about shootouts. Let's listen to Stephanie Bork and Monia Wagner.
Well, guys, I hope you had a great holiday getting ready back to play. How excited are you to get back to playing hockey after a month off?
I think we're really excited. I think we're in a good place. We had a good couple of days of practice, and I think a break was good for us, but everyone was really excited to get back and to start playing again.
Monia?
Yeah, I agree. It's great seeing everyone again, and I think the energy is high, and we're ready to go.
What's going to be important for you guys in the second half of the season? I mean, I know right now you're last place in the standings, but not that far out of that first-round home ice berth. So what do you got to do to get back on track here in the second half?
I think it's going to go back to really harping on the details, being good in our D zone, blocking shots, helping our goalies out, but also creating more movement in the offensive zone. I think that's going to help us out a ton in trying to confuse other teams in their D zone and getting shots through. So I think that's what's going to give us success in the second half.
Monia?
Yes, I agree. I think we need to just dig down on our systems and on our details, and then also just like play together as a team and have fun, and then it's gonna end well.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, the game against Harvard, you got pulled, and in talking with Tony, he says that was more of a performance by the team in front of you instead of you. But how important was it for you to bounce back against Dartmouth, get the shutout? I know it wasn't a win; it was a tie. You guys won the shootout, but. How important was that for you and your confidence heading into the second half?
It was huge. I'd say it's never fun to get pulled as a goalie, even if it's not your fault. So it was really nice to get that feeling back of really having a good game. And I think we also pushed together as a team. And it wasn't just my effort. It was like a full team effort to get that shutout. So I think that is really going to give us a lot of energy, and me personally too, and obviously confidence for the next half.
Yeah, Stephanie, did you guys feel bad that Monia got pulled out of Harvard game? Because, I mean, you guys had a rough first period and really never recovered.
I mean, obviously, like, that's not how we want to be as a team, and that's not, like, how we want to start as a team. But at the same time, like, we win as a team, we lose as a team. And, like, yeah, we do feel bad because, like, our goalie's in Wags. Like, she stands on her head for us, and she saves our butts sometimes. So we want to do the same for her. So it's kind of just disappointing that we weren't able to do that. But I think now we're looking into that. We took it as a learning opportunity, and we're heading into the second half in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, guys, go on the road this weekend for Yale and Brown, both ranked teams. I know you haven't played a lot of road games and you haven't won one yet, but how important it will be starting Friday night to get some road wins here. What do you have to do? Does it matter getting off the strong starts?
Yeah, I think it's just going to have a lot of confidence in ourselves. Like, we're a good team as well. Just not to be scared, to give them respect, but not to give them that much respect that we let them walk all over us. So it's just going to be playing hard, stick on puck, playing good defensively, because if we do play good defensively, chances are that they won't get a lot of chances, and that's going to give us more chances in the O-zone. So it's just kind of going back to that.
Monia?
Yes, I agree. I think even in the past when we've played well defensively, the goals started coming, and we are a good scoring team, so we really need to, like, bear down on our D-zone, and then those games are huge, so we all know 6 points are very important for us, and that could really boost our standings, so we all know what job we have to do, and we're excited to.
Monia, is there any concern of rust, obviously being with a month off, do you expect us to have a little rust coming out of the gate here Friday night?
I don't think so. I feel like the past two practices we've had were really good, and our team looks ready, and we have a lot of energy, and we're just like really excited to be back. So I think we're ready to go.
Stephanie, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think our, like she said, our energy is really high, and it's just like a positive mindset all over the place, and it's kind of just fun to be around. So I think if we just keep up that energy, like we'll play well. So.
And that will do it for this edition, the 495th edition of the Parting Shots podcast, and the final one for 2025. Our first podcast of the new year will be posted on Thursday. It'll be a look back at the Capital Region Sports Year 2025. Our staff members, Christian Heinz, will talk Hudson Valley sports. Drew Wemple will talk high school sports. Will Springstead, the executive sports editor, will discuss college football, specifically Union football, with a little mention of UAlbany football, and the college lacrosse scene, of course, unfortunately topped by the death of the Seattle men's lacrosse coach Liam Gleason. And Mike McAdam will talk horse racing, and I'll talk about the year in Union College men's and women's hockey. Please tune in. Take some time between bowl games to listen to the podcast. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. And next year, perhaps. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey, and Happy New Year's.